Welcome to Children's Home and AIDS, Ahlquist Center for Policy, Practice, and Innovations podcast, The Ahlquist Agenda. I'm Eric Mayo, Public Policy Manager at the Ahlquist Center. In this series, we invite you to take an inside look at how we think about policy, why it matters, how it impacts youth, families, and communities, and what you can do to help. In today's episode, we'll talk about the barriers youth in care face to earning their driver's license. Learning to drive. For teenagers, it's the first step to gaining independence. However, due to the constraints of the child welfare system, youth in care face significant barriers to earning their license. Driver's education can be expensive, even when it's offered in school, and youth may not have access to a car to complete the 50 hours of practice driving that Illinois requires, 10 of which must occur at night. While no data is available on how many youth in care have earned their driver's license or instruction permit in Illinois, other states provide some clue as to what we might expect. According to a 2014 Florida survey, only 2% of youth in care obtained their driver's license. Similarly, a 2018 report surveying youth in care in Virginia found 5% of youth in care obtained a license before they turned 18. Compare that to the 73% of all high school seniors who have earned their driver's license. Not only is driving an important life skill, but youth who learn to drive earlier are less likely to commit traffic infractions and are less likely to be involved in accidents. A 2012 Washington study found that drivers who were licensed at 16 or 17 received fewer citations 2 years later than those who waited until they were 18 or older to receive their license. And a 2015 Nebraska study found that drivers who did not take driver's education are 76% more likely to get a traffic ticket than those who did. What can Illinois do to ensure youth in care have access to learn this vital skill? To get some perspective on how this can be done, I'll speak to Jerry Glynn and Kerry Flynn. Jerry and Kerry help manage Keys to Independence, a Florida-based program which has helped over 900 youth in care earn their license since 2014. Jerry and Kerry, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's great to be with you.
So tell us a little bit about what is Keys to Independence.
It's a first of its kind program in the nation. It's amazing that many foster care systems have struggled to get driver's license for foster youth. It seems like a simple task. However, there are many barriers for foster youth to have this important milestone of adolescence. So we convinced the Florida legislature to take an initial investment in a pilot program to make this happen, foster youth to get driver's license. And the Keys to Independence is the result of that Florida legislature investment. It's a program that removes what is the biggest barrier, which is financial barriers for youth involved in Florida's foster care system to drive. We've been operating since 2014. We've helped over 900 kids get driver's license, and we're very excited about the success of the program. Kerry, anything to add?
No, I think you covered it. We've been doing it for several years now and have a lot of great outcomes.
When you talk about financial barriers, what services are you providing to make it easier for those youth to access their driver's license?
I can probably answer that. Keys to Independence, or we call it K2I, we offer reimbursement or direct payment for all the services that are involved in getting a driver's license. In Florida, we have to start with a four-hour online course, and the kids have to take that. And that's a cost. And then they have to take their learner's license exam, and that's a cost. And then they go get their actual learner's license, and that's a cost. And then they have to get their behind-the-wheel lessons. And of course, that's expensive. And after that, they can get their driver's license test, which is another expense. And then the biggest expense of all is insurance. So we have a program that allows for reimbursement or direct payment of all of those costs together. At the beginning, when we first started running our program, we did a breakdown and a cost analysis of everything it cost in Florida to get on the road. And it's about $3,500.
Wow.
So for a parent to get their teen driving, it's expensive. And it's even more expensive for our caregivers that are taking care of kids that are not their own. So we really want to help them and provide as much service and support as we can.
Let me add a little bit to that. When we started, we expected exactly what Kerry described, which is that we were just going to be reimbursing the financial costs. And that's why it was a perfect pilot program, because we learned so much. We thought we would be able to run this as just processing checks to pay for those costs. But as we developed, we learned that we needed staff to really guide the various persons in the system in every step of the way. There are so many people involved in the foster care system and they can't know everything. And so we had staff who truly understand this important milestone and how to navigate these barriers for foster youth that they were facing. We also had that staff negotiate deals with driver's education programs, with insurance companies, just for these youth. And so we originally thought we would run this with just like one person. And now what are we up to? Six staff members. And that administrative backup is really necessary because there are so many barriers and so many players when it comes to getting kids driver's license. One key great example of that is the driver's education programs. We negotiated deals that sometimes our foster kids can't get from their group home to the driver's ed program. So we negotiated a deal where the driver's ed program would come to the kid and pick them up at their group home or their foster home. And then also that sometimes kids don't have the cars to take the driver's ed test. And so we negotiated a deal with the driver's ed programs that they could use the driver's ed school car when taking the driver's test. So again, we saw barriers as we went along and we negotiated deals to overcome whatever those barriers, financial or practical.
So one of the things when you read about driver's licenses and why this is so important is this concept of normalcy for youth in care. Can you talk a little bit about what normalcy is and why it's so important for teens?
And that is one of those sort of lingo phrases we use in foster care, which is that we want our teenagers in foster care to have normalcy. And what that is we just want them to be teenagers. You know, we want them to be able to go out on dates. We wanted them to be able to have an opportunity to participate in extracurriculars. And like the driver's license, this is each one of those creates its own separate weird barriers because they're in foster care, because they don't have a parent, you know, as we normally think of parent to sign off on this. And everybody in the system is concerned that, oh my God, they're going to get hurt. Well, teenagers are going to get hurt. Teenagers are going to have accidents. You find out foster kids don't have as many accidents as most kids. So everyone's worried about, oh my God, something bad's going to happen. Well, teenagers need to have an opportunity, just like every other youth, to grow in interpersonal relationships, to grow in their independence, to grow in their job skills and life skills. And the only way we do that is let them explore. And one of those has been this driver's license and why it is so critical for them to get access to driver's license is it shifts that paradigm when it comes to normalcy. For a lot of foster kids, what we found out is the reaction is that foster youth have to earn the privilege of having these normal adolescent experiences. And what we've done by giving them access to driver's license is we flip that paradigm. We've now got caregivers who recognize that the foster youth should have a right to normal teenage activities like driving that they might lose. They might have behaviors just like a child in an intact family may have behaviors that leads to them being grounded from driving or grounded from having their cell phone. We should start with the presumption that they have access to all this normal activity and that they might lose it. You know, I for years have been advocating for foster youth to get driver's license, but it wasn't until my own 15-year-old biological daughter couldn't get her learner's permit because she has a seizure disorder that I came to realize how dramatically important normal access to normal adolescent activities is important. She has dealt with this seizure disorder for many years and has always been fine. The first time I ever saw her cry about her disability was when she couldn't get her learner's permit. That's the trauma our foster kids face every day when they can't go spend a night at a friend's house, participate in an extracurricular activity, go to a dance, have any of those normal activities, including driving. They're traumatized by our denial of their access to normal adolescence.
And we've touched on this a little bit, but I sort of want to highlight this point. Youth in care face barriers to getting their driver's license. We talked a little bit about the financial barriers. Are there other barriers they face, and how has Keys to Independence sort of tackled those barriers?
We faced several barriers that we didn't anticipate when we started the Keys to Independence program. We really thought that once we were allocated funds to run the program, we would have people knocking on our door and begging for these services. We were real excited and we're actually kind of panicked that we didn't have enough money that was going to cover enough kids that we wanted to serve. After the first, I think, wave of applications, we didn't get anything. And we were really nervous. So that was a huge barrier for us. We didn't realize that we really had to go out and advertise the program and campaign and get people excited about kids driving. We did a lot of presentations throughout the state. That's when we started hiring additional staff because we needed people on the ground running out there and going to all areas to explain to our CASA program and our group homes and our foster parent associations. We had to get everybody that is involved in our system on board with this program in order to get our kids referred. We have a couple groups within the state that are youth-led, and those were awesome groups to start having the conversation with because they were able to share the information about the program with their friends and kids that they lived in group homes with. So the word of mouth spread pretty quickly. But we, even after 6 years, are still campaigning across Florida to make sure that everybody knows that we're here and all we're going to do is help you. We're going to take away all the barriers that you have to get on the road and to drive.
Let me follow up on that. One barrier that was very sad in this hesitancy to sign up was the foster parents. Yeah, I understand the foster parents being concerned that, oh my God, they're going to be driving my car. They might have an accident, which we have found out they don't. Our foster kids don't have accidents as much as most teenagers. But the real barrier, it was that they didn't think they would get their money. That hesitancy came from years of them spending lots of money on the kids who are temporarily in care. We asked these foster parents to open their hearts and homes to these foster youth. But this could be a real expensive venture because adding a teenager to your insurance is really expensive. And they were hesitant because they have been promised that they would get reimbursed in the past and they didn't get it. And so one of the things was making sure that the foster parents really believed they would get reimbursed. And that's what Carrie and her team does, is get on the phone and actually use our company credit card to pay those expenses because they are reluctant because they've been burned before. Now, I know that you work in Illinois. I'm sure people feel that way sometimes when the state promises to pay something. And so that was sad to realize, but not shocking to realize that they, part of their reluctance was been there, done that, been burned before. I'm not putting out this big expense. And so we had to win the goodwill of those people over by showing, no, we are paying. We'll pay up front. We'll do things to make sure that you are not out of pocket, but this youth gets access to driving.
Jerry, you had mentioned this earlier that the program, since its inception, has helped about 900 children get their license. Can you talk a little bit more about some other results? You've highlighted it a couple of times, but I sort of want to point it out. Folks think that accidents are going to be a big issue with this population. In your experience, it turns out it really hasn't been.
Right. So just sort of some of the numbers, you know, as you alluded to, we've got 900 foster youth and former foster youth who now have driver's license. We have another 1,700 teens who have their learner's permit. And the way the foster care system is designed, that's actually what you should expect, a whole bunch with learner's permits, because we want them going home. And when they get home, they can get their driver's license. And if they get a learner's permit, they can keep the learner's permit for 5 years and get their license whenever they can. You initially get them the learner's permit in Florida. You have to have it for 12 months. We hope that they're in a permanency before then. So that's why we haven't gotten more driver's license. So again, one of those lessons learned. But still, that's 2,600 foster youth now have access to driving who never had access to driving before. But also, we've really pushed that to get the number of kids who are eligible, 15 and older in our foster care system, enrolled in the program. And what the enrollment means is that we monitor their progress. So they start at 15 or whenever they enroll, and we monitor their process. And so we've had over 63% of the foster youth 15 and older who are involved in the program. My goal is at least 80%. And Carrie likes to point out that sometimes we get there with some groups, but I won't be satisfied till we have 80% with learner's permit, but at least 80% enrolled in the program. And then we spend over $200,000 a year on those direct services, as insurance expense and other expenses for the foster youth to actually get their license and get driving. But as I alluded to, the big change, the big success has been that change of thought process about how we teach teenagers in foster care. But getting back to your one question, what we found out, I think we're up to 4 accidents. So we have 900 kids who are teenagers. And we, to the best of our knowledge, have 4 kids who've had accidents. And the reason we know how many have accidents is we also pay the deductible. If they had an accident, we'll pay the deductible. And so that's a really small percentage. And usually teenagers have accidents at a rate of 16 to 20%. So in the general population, 20% of our teenagers are having accidents. and less than 1% of our foster youth are having accidents. So that big fear that, oh my God, they're going to have an accident. And I believe all those accidents, except for one, I think, were fender benders. They were minor accidents. I think we had one that was totaled, but it wasn't an injury. It was just damage to the car.
So let me end with this. For those folks who don't know, there was some federal funding put in at the end of last year that allows for states to set up programs similar to what you guys are running in Florida. So why should other states invest in programs that promote youth in care earning their driver's license?
Eric, that's a great question. So we have seen a lot of positive outcomes. You've heard all of the numbers that Jerry just spouted out. We also have the community that is coming together, which is really, really neat to see. Florida is community-based for child welfare, so we run our own systems in each of the areas of the state. But we're seeing car dealers come to us offering to give away free cars. We're seeing community members donate money and cars to us to get our kids on the road. The community is embracing this as something that they can really help with. And even though driving is sometimes scary, it is a normal rite of passage for a teenager. And it removes a lot of barriers for them. They can get to their jobs easier. They can be productive members of society. They can finish their post-secondary schooling without having to be on public transportation all day. We're seeing a lot of positives with our youth voice. Our youth voice is exploding in Florida. They're up at the legislature all the time, talking to the secretary of our department and to the governor, and they're telling them the changes that need to be made in the foster care system in Florida. And I think it's because of the Keys to Independence program, because that was their first taste of what we talked earlier about normalcy. And it removes that stigma of foster care that they have always had.
Well, Jerry and Carrie, thank you so much for joining us to talk about Keys to Independence. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's great talking to you, Eric. Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much, Eric.
Almost 30 other states have implemented policies to make earning a driver's license easier for youth in care, and we believe Illinois should be next. To learn more about our proposal on how to make driver's licenses more accessible to youth in care in Illinois, read our policy paper, which is linked under this recording on our website. Thank you again to Jerry and Carrie at Keys to Independence, and to our sound engineer / technology wizard / producer, Sarah Kruger. To learn more about all of our 2021 policy priorities, visit our website at www.childrenshomeandaid.org/thecenter. And don't forget to follow our new Twitter page at AlquistCenter. For the AlQuist Agenda, I'm Eric Mayo. Thanks for listening.